We are still early in this year. It's only the second Sunday. The year is only 10 days old. And so I think this word would be appropriate because early in this new year, any adjustments that we need to make in our personal lives should be made early. I'm talking today about course correction. It is the intervention of God. God involves himself in the affairs of man, but God treats his people differently. God deals with his people differently than he does those who are not of the faith. Now, he loves us all, and all of us have received of his goodness. He causes the rain to fall on his people and those who do not belong to him all at the same time. But he does deal with his people differently. And we'll give scripture on that in just a few minutes. So early in this year, as God deals with us as individuals, any course correction we need to make should be made now so that we can go through this year and arrive at our destiny that God has planned for us. I'm told that when a rocket blasts into orbit heading for the moon, if its trajectory is off even in the slightest, if it's off course even to the slightest degree, it will miss the moon by thousands of miles unless there is a course correction early in the journey. That's the way it is for the people of God early in this new year. Any adjustments God wants to make in our life, he deals with his people and he deals with us early this year. God knows where he's taking us, and he intervenes and he brings course correction when it's necessary so that we will arrive at the destination he has planned for us, the destiny that is waiting for us. Now, there are four stages in the cycle of human behavior when it comes to God's people. I have scripture. These four stages, and they make up a cycle. And we as human beings in our behavior, sometimes in our stubbornness, we repeat the same cycle over and over, just like the children of Israel did. The four stages of behavior, and God has to deal with us and get involved at every one of these stages. The first is rebellion. The second is God's intervention. The third one is repentance. And then the fourth stage is restoration. You will see these four stages repeated over and over again in this order throughout the first five books of the Bible, the recorded account of the children of Israel. They were God's people. Now, I would like to say, I would love if I could say, this cycle, this pattern of behavior is not describing God's people. I would love to be able to say, this pattern, this cycle of behavior is descriptive of the outsiders of our faith, those who don't know God, those who don't know any better. But sadly, this cycle of behavior describes God's people, and he deals with us. We're talking about the intervention of God. In the book of Judges, Israel was blessed with 40 years of rest and peace. God had defeated their enemies, had prospered them. He had allowed them to arrive where he was leading them. They were now in the promised land. But yet we see this cycle repeating itself again. Now remember, it had been 40 years of rest and peace among God's people when Judges 6:1 says this. After 40 years of rest and peace, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian, an enemy, for 7 years. I don't like this. I wish I could tell you a rosy picture where, oh, once you confess your faith and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus in your life, you'll never have a bump in the road, never a curveball, never caught off guard by anything you didn't see coming. But that's not the case. I'm talking about God's people. It says the children of Israel. That was God's chosen people. I'm going to ask for an amen right now, and I expect it to be a strong, loud amen when I ask this question. How many in this room today consider yourself part of God's people? Amen. Then this word is for us, God's people, did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of an enemy for 7 years. It was rebellion in the people of God. There's a song. It's a pop song. I listen to pop music once in a while. And I've learned that when God has something to say, He can speak to me through Reader's Digest. He can speak to me in any way He wants. His preference is to speak to me through His Spirit and through His Word. Sometimes I can't hear it that way, but there's a song that describes people who are good people, but they get caught up in rebellion. And I'm talking about the people of God today and how God deals with each of us individually in course correction on our journey. And the song says, and it describes a rebellious people that don't even know how bad off they are, don't even want help where they are. Diana Ross sang it, and the words are, if there's a cure for this, I don't want it, and if there's a remedy, I'll run from it. How sad and pitiful is a group of people who just refuses to allow the intervention of God to bring course correction in our lives when we are off track. And the Bible says, the Lord delivered them into the hand of an enemy. That word delivered in the Hebrew language is defined as appointed and assigned. God appointed an enemy. Listen to me. And He assigned an enemy to take the people of God at their hand. The Bible goes on to say Israel during that time planted crops, and the Midianites, the enemy, destroyed the crops. Verse 4 of that chapter says, the enemy destroyed the produce of the earth and left no provision for God's people to have their lives preserved. That was pitiful. Pitiful. All because of the cycle of behavior of God's people. For thousands of years, it's been this way. Early in the year, we may need to break a cycle and a pattern of behavior. The earlier in the year we can do it, the better off our year will be. God is intervening in my life, and He deals with His people differently than He deals with the world. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, the enemy. Oh, here's some hope. It begins right here. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, already we've seen God's people go from rest and peace for 40 years to rebellion, having evil, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, rebellion against God. And then we see God's intervention, but we don't like it. God intervened by sending an enemy to rule over his own people. That was God's intervention. But now thirdly, we see the next stage. This is where things begin to get better. Repentance. The people of God cried out to the Lord. I've been there. You've been there. I've been there more than once. Oh God, if there's a cure for this, I'll take it. If there's a remedy, I'll run toward it, not away from it. Repentance, crying out to the Lord. And then God continued to intervene by sending a prophet, and he raised up Gideon. Listen to me. You know that story. Gideon. Nobody expected much at all out of Gideon. Even Gideon himself couldn't believe an angel appeared to him and God was calling him to rise up and be a leader. An angel appeared to this man who was pitiful and puny and had no self-esteem. He had no confidence in himself and not much in God, obviously. But the angel appeared to Gideon, and instead of calling him weak, puny, a disappointment, the angel of the Lord looked at him and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." God's people need to get back to the place to where we see ourselves the way God sees us instead of sometimes the way we see even our own selves. Gideon's response to the angel, as the angel was calling him to a place of leadership among God's people, is found in Judges 6:13. Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is for us, why then has all this happened to us?" I'll ask that question again. It was first asked by Gideon. "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is for us, why then has all this happened to us?" Gideon tried to get out of the intervention of God. He said to the angel, "I am the weakest. I am the least." He said, "My father's house is the least in the tribe, and we're the weakest tribe in all of Israel." And God had delivered his people many times before, as he has us, but their deliverance did not last. Israel, God's people, talking to our own self today, we're the people of God. Israel had repeated this same cycle and this pattern of behavior over and over. Rebellion, then God intervenes, even if he has to assign and appoint an enemy. And then finally repentance, crying out to the Lord, and God delivers us again and restores us. Now, God intervenes in the lives of his children through his discipline. Now, my daddy is here today. He's sitting way on the back row back there. I'm not sure he can hear me. But I remember my daddy whipping me. That was back in the day, and I was bad enough. You could get away with whipping. With a belt or a paddle. I remember a couple of times my daddy whipped me. And I did not think I needed it. But in hindsight, I have to just say I probably did. And I'm thankful for discipline. It has helped me in my life. It has not made me perfect, but at least it was helpful. May have saved my life more than once. So thank you, Dad, for the whippings you gave me when I didn't think I deserved it. Maybe it's only me. Maybe nobody needs this but me. But God is that way in dealing with His children. He intervenes in our lives through His discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 5, it says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons and daughters? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourges every son or daughter whom He receives." This is the verse right here that gives me a right to tell you God deals with His people differently than He does the world. The Lord loves and chastens those He loves, and He punishes, disciplines, this is a strong word, scourge. He scourges every son whom He receives. God's not required biblically to punish the world, even though that is set in order in eternity. But He does promise us right here, if we are a son of God, or if we are a daughter of God, we can expect chastening because He loves us. And if we call ourselves sons and daughters of God, He will punish us because He has received us as His son. And I did have a question a time or two when my daddy was beating me. I wonder, does he even love me? Excuse me, Daddy. Wonder, does he care at all? I mean, does he know how much this hurts? He wouldn't punish me if he had any idea. But because I was his son, he took responsibility for me. And when I needed course correction, my daddy intervened and punished his son because he loved me. Now, my dad is human, as yours is. But we have a heavenly Father that is totally divine and perfect in His love in every way. And if we show respect to our earthly fathers who love us enough to punish us when we need it, how much more respect should we show our heavenly Father who is perfect in His love always, when He decides to intervene in our life because of our behavior and He brings a correction into our life? He loves us that much. Further down in Hebrews 12 and verse 11, it says, "No chastening," I'll agree with this, "no chastening seems to be joyful right now in the present moment." I agree with that. When my daddy was whipping me, and I can only remember a couple of times because I wasn't that bad all the time. I was worse than Deborah and Mike. But I agree with this. When a loving father needs to intervene because of our behavior, how true it is that it don't seem to be joyful right now, but painful. Has God had any of His people in painful places lately? Sometimes we blame everything on the devil when it's painful. But if we're a child of God, if He has received us as a son, He will intervene in our lives individually when we need correction. It's all in the Word right here. Nevertheless, it's not joyful about now, it's downright painful. Nevertheless, afterward, God knows where He's taking us. Afterward, that chastening, that discipline, that punishment, that intervention by God yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Then it goes on to say in Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15, pursue peace with all people. I mean, after God has whipped us, this is what follows. Afterwards, it's going to be bearing fruit of peaceable fruit, it's called, of righteousness, of a right standing before God. What do we do with that? Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And the next verse says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, I mentioned this root, root of bitterness a few weeks ago. It springs up causing trouble. And by this root of bitterness that got us to get out of the lives of His people, because if He doesn't, many become defiled. A root of bitterness. I'll tell you, when you've been in rebellion against God, and I can talk about it because I have rebelled against God. At times, I hope not right now. I don't plan to today. But that's the cycle and the pattern God's people repeat. Oh, we're in a good place with the Lord, 40 years, rest in peace, and all of a sudden we start doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and He doesn't let us get away with it. He will appoint and assign even an enemy, if necessary, and He'll get involved in intervening until we reach the place we cry out in repentance. And then He'll send a prophet if necessary and raise up somebody else that don't even think they're qualified, like a Gideon. And God gets involved in restoring His people again. But now the root of bitterness. There's a lot of bitterness in the world today. And if you have a root of bitterness, I know I've had it at times. There have been times I don't have time. But I've grown bitter at what I thought people didn't do me right. People talked about me, said bad things about me. People could have helped me, but stabbed me in the back. I mean, my story is probably about the same as yours. And it's easy for bitterness to take root. And the Bible says, look carefully for that. Look carefully for that. Because you're falling short of the grace of God if there's a root of bitterness working in your life, and if it's not dealt with by the intervention of God, if necessary, it springs up and causes trouble and defiles many. Now, if a root of bitterness is anchored in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind, that's when you take such a strong, defiant position, you don't even want help with it. If there's a cure for this, I don't want it. If there's a remedy, I'll run from it. How sick can you be? But that perfectly describes someone who has a root of bitterness, and it's defiling themselves and many others. A couple of points. Number one, God's discipline is proof you are a Christian. He doesn't guarantee in His Word He'll discipline anybody else by promise other than his sons and daughters. But if he has received you as a son or a daughter, you can expect him to discipline you and me when we need a course correction. And when he does, remember that the Bible says he punishes every son whom he receives. So if you're being disciplined by God, if the finger of God is touching your life in any area of your life, it's proof you belong to him. God's discipline is proof you're a Christian. No believer goes without it. God deals with his people differently than he deals with outsiders. And then God's discipline is unpleasant preparation. You got to see the big picture. Trust God with it if you can't see it, because he does. And there is preparation. What he's doing right now, my daddy was preparing me. Son, you got a long life ahead of you. You can't go through life like this. Now, I'm going to hurt you a little bit right now. It's my responsibility. I've got to spank you, boy. But if I don't do this now and bring some intervention to your life and a course correction to the journey you're on right now, you could wind up in the future way, 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 way off course. I get goosebumps just hearing it. When I go into your house and your children are misbehaving, I do not punish them. They are not my children, they are yours. And when God comes into his house, he takes responsibility to punish his children because he has received them as sons. But it's unpleasant preparation. Preparation for the future, getting us back on course, back on track, because he knows where he wants to take us, and he knows the best way to get us there. Charles Spurgeon, who was a great pastor back in the 1800s. In fact, I don't even know how he did it. He pastored probably the world's first mega church. I think it was like 6,000 members in England. And history says he was a heavyset man, and he would lay his gut on the podium. that may be ahead for me. I'm not sure. But he was a wise man. I don't even know how you can speak to 6,000 people without a PA system. But he did. And Charles Spurgeon said, "If I knew I had 25 years to live, I would spend the first 20 of them in preparation." And God did not allow Moses to walk in his life's calling until he was 80. Up until the age of 80, everything for Moses was preparation for the last 40 years of his life. Now, God used him, but God was preparing him. So, if God is still dealing with you, that's a sign you belong to him, and he's preparing you for something even greater ahead, and it's unpleasant preparation. God does not chasten us without reason. It's exactly what we need for the task he has designed for us, and God's discipline should not be despised. It's worth dignifying. And the joy that follows his discipline, his intervention, and his course correction is worth it all. Bow your heads with me.